Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Here on Sports Time Radio. Believe it or not, we made it through another week. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you want to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, actually almost at Friday. So look for that new blog tomorrow morning. It should be up there hopefully sometime bright and early. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link and follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. For some reason, Mr. Fantasy doesn't, but he's only here one day a week, so who cares, and barely he makes that anymore. Don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, come on, you know this by now, at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
All right, Dan and I have one position left to do. Also the fact that, you know, we'll get into it later, but the Cardinals ruined one of my picks from yesterday. And we got to do catchers, Dan, and this is, you know, with the exception of a couple top guys, and now Wilson Contreras, because he said he's the best, he's better than Buster or Yadier. You know, it's difficult to find these guys. I'm hoping it's your day to start. Is it your day to start? I think you should go first.
Oh, well, down at the bottom, starting at number five. I mean, why don't we start with number one today? Because, I mean, it's plainly obvious who I'm going to pick for number one. And despite everyone's complaints about a catcher shouldn't go in the first round, I will add that he plays a little first base, and Buster Posey is always okay to go in the first round. You know, he had a little bit of a down year, being that he was only in 140 games, but he was still up from the prior year with a 320 batting average. So he's getting those hits back in. I cut off the top of my stats, so I'm not exactly sure what the numbers were, but I know his RBIs weren't where they were in previous years. But again, the Giants as a whole were completely down last year, so I see those numbers just overall improving. I believe he had somewhere around 12 home runs, which is very low again. But again, I think, you know, with the addition of Andrew McCutchen, Evan Longoria, we're going to see a whole new Giants, and I get some bigger numbers out of Buster Posey.
Yeah, I'm not starting at number one, just so you know. I went with number five, and this was a guy Mr. Fantasy and I had in our money league last year, and sadly he turned out to be quite a disappointment. So I'm hoping for a bounce back year, and I'm talking about Russell Martin. Just 91 games last year due to injury, only put up 13 home runs and 35 RBIs, and hit just .221. Actually, I believe that's it's the second lowest season average he's had in his 12-year career. The big question you always wonder with these guys is the grind finally getting to him? It's weird because, like, you never think of Martin, or I believe he's playing in Canada now, they actually are pronouncing it Martin, but you never really think of him as an elite catcher. Dan, do you realize that he's caught 1,520 games in his career?
Wow.
So, yeah, he's put up a huge, huge number, and you just got to, you know, I think there's something left. I believe he'll be a 20-homer and 70-plus RBI guy again. You know, as long as he keeps that health and he gets that, you know, 120, 130-game number, you know, sadly, the average just never came around for him. He had some really good numbers early in his career, and then it, you know, the average just didn't stick. He had a bit of an odd 290 average back in 2014, but ever since then he's never hit over 240, so don't expect a big average number. But again, you know, a lot of guys wait on catchers, and, you know, this is one of those things. I think Martin always kind of flies under the radar a little bit because he's not elite, but he's every day. So that kind of plugs him in at number five for me, and I think he could be a good later round pickup. So, yeah, Russell Martin is my number five. Which way are you going? Are you going two or four or five?
Yeah, I guess I'd go back down to five. You know, I'm hoping that I get a little bit more playing time, and by a little bit, I mean like 40 more games, and that would be Christian Vasquez from the Red Sox. I didn't even think about looking into who or what they've got going on there. But, you know, like I said, he's only in 99 games this year, like just over 300 at bat. He's not a big power guy, but with the limited play, his RBIs were down. But I did like the fact that he didn't strike out that much, so to speak. Again, I cut off my stat line, so I don't know what stats are which, to be honest, just kind of going by, I guess. But he did put up a 290 batting average, which I like that. It looks like he got 94 hits this season, so 18 of them are doubles. So he's going to get on base, and if he's behind the right guys, I think he's going to drive some runs. So, again, I think if he gets much more playing time, he's going to really pan out to be a solid catcher with the Red Sox this year.
Yeah, so, you know, my number four is a guy who should be completely healthy, and it'll be very interesting to see if he gets back to some of the stats he was putting up. If you remember in 2016, Dan, Wilson Ramos was actually a big-time MVP candidate with the Nationals. You know, and then he had that just horrific knee injury. It took him out. He only played 64 games last season as he, you know, as he recovered for the injury. Now, he should be fully healthy, so he should be looking at a full season of, you know, 120, 130 games. Now, you know, last year he hit 260. He still got the double-digit home runs. He hit 11 with just 35 RBIs. You know, he's the best catcher in Tampa Bay. He's in the last year of his deal. If he gets off to a really good start, there could be a chance that contenders come calling and he ends up in the middle of a contender lineup. Now, with Washington, when he was an MVP candidate, he hit 307 with 22 homers and 80 RBIs in the middle of a playoff lineup. So there is a chance you could be looking for numbers like that out of a healthy Wilson Ramos. I almost called him Wilson Contreras. But, yeah, you know, a healthy Wilson Ramos can give you big numbers. And now with the way Yahoo ranks guys, he's going to be way down in the rankings because of his limited games. So if you don't go searching for him, there's a chance you probably won't find him. So, like, for me, he'll be one of those guys I'll have to queue up so I don't forget about him and then go and, you know, go and get him when the time is right. But, yeah, he's definitely going to probably hang around in most drafts. So I think he could be a bit of a steal, and he drops in at number four for me. So who was your number four?
It's almost kind of a battle between two young guys, but I'm going with Gary Sanchez as number four. I think he's going to get a full-time job. I don't remember if was it Austin Roberts or whoever the young kid was that was behind him. Also, I think he's still going to get some, you know, healthy amount of playing time behind Sanchez. But, you know, he's going to give you the home runs and the RBI. So it'll be interesting to see where he's batting with Giancarlo and Aaron Judge. But the reason I went with him over my next guy at four was because he had more, a handful more strikeouts. But you can't go wrong with the Yankees.
Yeah, you know, I went and hunted down a number three because pitch framing doesn't matter in fantasy baseball. And this guy actually lost his job with a team because they said he was a poor pitch framer. Dan, my number three is Wellington Castillo. You know, he ended up in some kind of odd, almost platoon-like system with the Orioles last year. Hit 282, still got the 20 homers and 53 RBIs in just 96 games. Now he's the number one catcher on the Chicago White Sox and should finally get the opportunity to play in, you know, again, 120, 130 games is a really good target for a catcher. So, you know, if he can hit 20 home runs in limited action, you got to wonder if maybe he can get to 25 or even crest that 30 mark as a full-time guy. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this kind of plays out. And, you know, if the White Sox improve, the numbers could be there. So it's a, very interesting deal here with him. And then, you know, you never know, maybe he'll pick up a game or two here as a designated hitter, you know, just to give him a day off behind the plate. But I think Castillo is the guy who, you know, really has the chance to kind of break out. I was surprised his games were so limited with the Orioles. I didn't realize they had played him so, so little with the numbers he was putting up. I thought he was, you know, he'd caught in the hundreds at least, but he didn't even get there. So I definitely think he could have a big year as a number one guy for the White Sox. So he's my number three. Where'd you go for, yeah, let's see, you're on three, that's right. So where'd you go for three?
Oh, 3 o'clock. With Avila gone, I think Contreras is going to take up almost all of the catching, with maybe 15, 20 games given to Caratini. You know, like I mentioned, he had less strikeouts than Gary Sanchez, but he also had about 100 less at bats than he did in about 6-5 less games. But I think with the Cubs in their lineup, if he gets a, you know, full-time position, or not a position in the lineup, that we're going to see much more production out of him. And I, you know, maybe with Chili Davis, we're going to see some more bombs come out of him. And hopefully some more.
But you put him behind Buster. He said he's better. Well, we'll get to that later. Interestingly, for my number two, it's weird because as good as this guy is, I still think he's kind of criminally underrated. And my number two is Salvador Perez of the Kansas City Royals. He had a big power year last year. He ended up hitting 27 homers and 80 RBIs. Surprisingly, he only caught 129 games. He normally catches a little more than that. He's normally a, 140 type of guy. He's just that guy who plays every day. He hits 268, so his average was a little down, but, you know, there's nothing wrong about this guy anywhere you go. I mean, there's, a lot of power. Like I said, a lot of power showed last year. You got to wonder if that's going to continue. And if you're in a league that uses, any kind of defensive metric, he's going to score for you. He may be the best defensive catcher in the American League, with throwing out guys and anything like that that goes. And I know there are some leagues that are really intense like that and use that stuff. So that bumps him up the rankings. But when you hear about the elite catchers, and I don't know if maybe it's because he plays in Kansas City, his name just doesn't really kind of jump out and make the list. And you're like, well, wait, where is this guy? Why isn't this guy here? But, if you can land him, if he slides a little and you can land him a little later in your draft, you're going to have a locked up position that you don't have to worry about. So Perez is my number two. Who was your number two?
He was my number two also, but it was really honestly between him and Mike Zunino. He was in 5 less games, about 90 some odd bats less. But aside from, strikeout being the huge difference between the two, I don't know. I think he's, he's a young catcher, so I think he's really going to bounce back and, maybe even catch a few more games next year and kind of take hold of that position up there in Seattle. I thought I'd go with one of your guys. Hopefully, he had 25 home runs. So hopefully, he can get some guy down ahead of him, and he can bump that RBI total from 64 up, you know, closer to the 80-100 mark.
Yeah, if he just cut down on those damn strikeouts, you know, that would be huge. I do agree with Dan. I believe Buster is number one. But to give you another option, I decided to go with JT Realmuto. You know, he's in that crappy situation in Miami, so you got to hope there's a possibility he gets traded to a contender. But, you know, he was in 141 games last year, ended up putting up 31 doubles. I believe he led all catchers in triples with five. Added 17 home runs, had 65 RBIs, still added eight stolen bases to go along with a 278 average. So as a catcher goes, I mean, he filled the categories about as well as you could. So, you know, it's definitely, I mean, you're looking at a young guy who plays quite a bit, so you're going to get games and at-bats out of him. You know, and again, you got to hope the situation doesn't drag him down and his numbers suffer. And, you know, like I said, if he lands, you know, in the right situation with a contender, you know, that those numbers could be even bigger because, you know, he's going to be on a team that's going to score a lot of runs. You know, in Miami, you know, it's a little iffy, and we'll have to see where they bat him. I know at times last year he was in not only the leadoff spot, but he batted second quite a bit. You know, and there obviously we all know that there's no RBIs in those spots. You know, there's just nothing you can do about it. But, you know, the way the game is going, you know, Dan and I have had the argument many times that your best hitter is supposed to hit second. Hopefully they don't get caught up in that trap and he gets in a spot. But that's where I'm going with number one. I'm going to plug Realmuto in at number one. Obviously it would be Buster in most situations or all situations. But I know he's Dan's guy and I got to let him have him. So I'm going with Realmuto there. There you go, Dan. We made it. We made it through our list. So... you know, we survived.
Well, we have an entire year to figure out how to rank the entire position.
Well, you broke up really bad there. What was that?
I said, well, we do have an entire season to figure out our ranking system for next year.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then, you know, oddly, like I was humorously joking. You know, yesterday one of the outfielders I was really kind of excited about was Ezekiel Carrere, because, you know, it looked like he was finally going to get the opportunity to get everyday playing time in Toronto. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, this is going to be a good deal for him. You know, we'll add him some more at bats. And today the Blue Jays traded two right-handed pitchers, Dominic Leone and Connor Green, to the St. Louis Cardinals for Randall Grichuk. So, you know, now the Blue Jay outfield will feature Kevin Pillar in center. You know, Curtis Granderson will probably play left at this point, and then Grichuk will play right. So you can say bye-bye to Carrere's at bats. He's the fourth outfielder at best. So, yeah. but yeah, you know, the Cardinals remade that outfield, Dan. You know, Piscotty's gone. You know, I mean, I actually appreciate what they did with Piscotty by trading him to Oakland so he could be closer to his sick mother. But, you know, Grichuk is now gone. It's Marcell Ozuna, Dexter Fowler, and Tommy Pham as the three guys. You like that as a Cardinal outfield?
Yeah, I mean, they just have to be careful that Dexter Fowler doesn't take them all out.
Yes. So, you know, the weird part is I think Pham may be a better center fielder. Do you think he plays center, or do you think they stick with Fowler?
I think they stick with Fowler, but I think I guess it just depends on how you play out that position. You know, because anything going up the more or less in the hole for center, right center, Fowler's not going to get to.
But yeah, you know, Dan and I were kind of talking. We were gonna piece together some guys. I guess I don't want to call them sleepers, Dan, because it's really, especially in our league, it's so difficult to find sleepers because our league is so big. But, you know, just some guys that are kind of maybe under the radar that they, we wouldn't mind having. And I know the one guy I actually wanted to ask you about, because he's been your guy, and you've had really good luck with finding these kind of odd little setup guys. I mean, you know, like you were on the Zach Duke bandwagon before everybody else. But the last couple of years, you know, Tony Watson has been your guy. You know, he had a really down year last year. How are you feeling about him going into this year? Are you still on the bandwagon, or have you kind of let that go?
Slightly on the bandwagon, but, you know, I mean, I guess when it comes to drafting, in the snake league, if I get him at 20 or later on, that might be the route I go. But when it comes to the auction league, when you think you're funny and you nominate him in the fifth or sixth round, I might just let go.
Yeah, well, you know, and oddly, you know, he was much better with the Dodgers than I think people thought he was. You know, he pitched in 24 games. He was 2-1, but his ERA was 2.70. You know, as the Pirates closer, he really kind of scuffled. Do you think maybe he's that guy that just probably shouldn't be closing and should just kind of stick to being the main setup guy? I mean, even in the playoffs, he was really good. You know, he had a little rough outing against Arizona, but, you know, against the Cubs, he appeared in 4 games, didn't give up anything. Against the Astros, he appeared in 5 games and didn't give up anything. Well, he did give up a run, but it was unearned, so his ERA was still 0. So, you know, I mean, he wasn't terrible unless you look at him as a closer. So do you buy, and I don't even know, I think he might be unsigned still, but we'll have to get him on a team first. But do you buy him as being a setup guy? I mean, a big-time setup guy still?
I didn't realize he wasn't under contract.
Yeah, I think he's one of the free agents. I'm not – let me see if I bing him real quick here, and it will tell me what he has left on his contract. It's hard to keep straight who the hell is free and who the hell is not. Yeah, free agent – or no, actually, no. It looks like he signed for this year. He'll be a free agent after 2018. I'm going to double check that because I might be wrong. I might be reading that wrong. And I was wrong. He actually is a free agent right now. So he is out there on the market, Dan. Why did the Cubs sign Tony Watson instead of buying up
back? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if he's still out there, if he's not signed by the time pitchers report, I think you're better off. He seems like a guy who needs to stick into that setup role. Especially if that's how he's been the whole season. I think if you're going to start with him as the closer, he might be one of those guys where you need to let him know. He needs to know before the season starts.
So, yeah, I just, you know, that was a little difficult. I mean, yeah, he's been a fantastic setup guy. But, you know, and it's weird because there is a difference. You know, there are guys who can, you know, come out and close and they dominate and there's no issue. And, you know, there's guys who for some reason can set up and get everybody out. And then you move them into that next role. And for some reason, it just doesn't work. And, you know, now Watson wasn't terrible as a closer, you know, but the ERA was a little high, you know, in the three sixes. That's a little rough for a closer. So, well, you know, we'll have to see, you know, where the heck he ends up. But, yeah, he's another one of those guys we're waiting to kind of see who ends up where. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, in 2016, he had 20 save opportunities and blew 5 and then blew 7 with the Pirates and 1 with the Dodgers last year. You know, maybe he just hasn't had the time to kind of catch a groove with being a closer.
Yeah, it is possible. I mean, we'll have to see. With the way the market's been, it's so ridiculously stupid this year. But I don't understand why somebody you know, who has a bona fide closer hasn't made this call or, you know, kind of looked at him and said, hey, you know, this is what we need in front of our guy. I mean, he's not, he's left-handed, but he's not just a lefty specialist. He can get right-handers out too. So, you know, that's a big deal. And I, you know, I don't know. I, like I said, the market is just really irritating this year. So, you know, we'll have to see, but yeah. Do you got a, you know, kind of an under the radar guy that you're leaning to, or you're hoping really kind of slides late where you might go, oh yeah, hey, it's time I take this guy.
Oh, my screens weren't switching quick enough, actually. But one of those guys was, I can't remember his first name now, but Peralta, playing right field from the Diamondbacks. You know, I don't know if maybe he'll be a little inflated or, you know, people know who he is yet, but, you know, he put up a .293 batting average. Wasn't a big home run guy. A little flash and pizzazz isn't there. But he still, you know, drove in 57 RBIs on those 14 home runs. Across the plate himself 82 times and, you know, knocked out 31 doubles. So you kind of expect with, what's his name gone, that he should be out in the outfield full time next year. Play at least 150, 160 games.
Yeah, you would hope, you know, again, obviously, you know, Dan and I can't help you with the injury situation there. You know, that's just one of those things. So, but, you know, I did find a guy, I guess you could call him kind of underrated, but, you know, I think Nick Castellanos could be one of those guys who, you know, is kind of sneaky good for you this year. You know, he made the move to the outfield last year. So you're actually going to get him as he's got dual position eligibility because he played enough at third base last year. He actually played 129 games at third before they moved him to right field. But he played 21 games in right, so he should qualify at both positions. If you have one of those leagues where I know, like our money league, if he starts game one of the season in that position, he qualifies in that position. So he'll be the Tigers' opening day right fielder. You would get him automatically as an outfielder after that. You know, he's got big power, and it looks like he's growing into it. He hit a career-high 26 homers last year. You know, the first time he got into the 20s, 36 doubles with 10 triples. So that's kind of interesting. You don't expect, like, Castellano to get double-digit triples. I don't think he would get back there again. But, you know, he's definitely, especially in, like, a league like ours, where, you know, you have to find these right fielders. You know, it can't just be, oh, well, it's, you know, it's an outfielder, I can take any schmo I want here, that's no big deal. You know, this you know, there's a lot of value in a guy like this who can give you power, and he did reach 100 RBIs last year. You know, you got to figure he's probably going to hit behind Miggy, so, you know, he'll get some pitches to hit because, you know, regardless of how bad a Miggy's year was, you don't want to pitch to him with, you know, runners on base. But, you know, with Castellanos going to the outfield, it, you know, gives good old Jemyr Candelario the opportunity to play every day. So it should be interesting in Detroit. So, you know, and then now do you have a, you know, you found a, you know, kind of an outfielder you were interested in. Is there a pitcher or a starter? You know, or maybe, you know, maybe just, yes, yeah, some, you know, one of the guys out there, obviously, besides Tony Watson, that you're kind of, again, another guy you're hoping maybe slides to you and you're looking around late going, oh, hey, look at that. Here's this guy.
I think we'll have to come back to that one in the next round. I was still looking at two outfielders that,
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. Let me hear. Yeah, let me hear who those guys are. I'd be interested to know who else you got there.
You know, this one, I know you know him, and you know he's kind of one of my guys. And
I know
the reason I picked these two is because they're pretty similar, except Stephen Souza Jr. gets a hell of a lot more walks and he's going to steal you some bases. But, you know, the biggest downside on him is the 179 strikeouts he had last year with the 239 batting average. But the other guy that I still wouldn't mind picking up, even though he's got a low batting average, Scott Schebler from Cincinnati. I think with, you know, the situation Cincinnati's in, he'd be the kind of guy who's just going to slip under there and still be available late in the draft.
Yes, Chevy. Oh, can we call him that? That'll be
they, both hit 30, they both hit 30 home runs last year.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always knew Souza was a, you know, a power guy. So, you know, definitely. Now, you know, there's a guy, you know, an infielder that I have a little bit of interest in that you might not know a whole lot about unless you were paying attention late in the season to the A's, and I don't know why you would be paying attention late in the season to the A's, but, you know, they shipped Ryan Healy off, actually went to my Mariners to make room for this guy. Look for Matt Olson to have a big time year. And now you're starting to wonder, well, what the hell do I know about Matt Olson? Well, I looked up his stats for you. Dan, Matt Olson hit 24 home runs in just 59 games last season. Ended up driven in 45 runs. You know, he did hit just 259. You're not going to get a big average out of him, but you know, when your home run to games played ratio is almost 1-to-1, there's definitely going to be some opportunity for you there. You know, it's looking like, depending on how your league rates guys, he could be another first baseman outfielder type guy. There's a chance he also plays some third for the A's this year, so you may end up getting a guy, you know, who, okay, maybe he's your bench guy, maybe he's your backup first baseman behind whoever you grabbed early. You may end up getting a guy who factors into three positions for you, you know, or in our league, you could plug him into the utility spot. And I believe the auction league has a corner infield spot, but you know, again, it's a guy with big power that's going to get an opportunity. You know, maybe he plays in 140 games. You know, and I mean, I don't think he's going to hit 60 home runs, but there's the opportunity there to really kind of jump on a young guy and see, you know, maybe you're in a keeper league, you land a guy like that pretty late, and things could go well. So he's definitely a guy I wouldn't mind kind of snaking in there a little late and see how it goes for me. So,
yeah.
And then you said you had another option.
Oh, no, I gave you my two. It was through the junior and Shedlow.
Oh, yeah.
But I was going to throw out a bad joke, but you blocked me. You know, one of the pitchers I didn't put onto my list, and starting pitcher, was mainly because of his high ERA. He went about just under 500 wins-loss, but, you know, today wins-loss don't matter. But he did make all 34. Was it 34? Yeah, he made all 34 starts. Coming out of Baltimore, that's Kevin Gausman. You know, I'm sure it's all the pitching coach's fault and the manager's fault, i.e. Jake Arrieta, why he's not, you know, pitching, you know, with a 3.5 ERA. But he still, like I said, he made 34 starts, was in 186 innings, which, you know, that means the coach is pulling him out a little early. But he averaged just under a strikeout a game. So, you know, if you're looking for, if you're able to get your top three, or, you know, maybe you're just looking for a solid guy who's going to pitch every day, this would be the guy I'm going after. I can't remember exactly what our stats, what categories pitching, you know, really makes a difference. Obviously, the wins or the losses and the ERA helps, and obviously the strikeouts. Of course, the losses would kind of be a negative in your column, but I still think, you know, he's one of those that's going to be a solid pitcher for you. And, you know, the thing is, I learned with pitching, you can't really, especially with fantasy, you can't really go on how many, you know, times they lose, because it'll just happen one week where it doesn't matter who your pitcher is, But let's say you start six of them, five of them are going to lose that week just because.
Yeah.
And that's where you get your butt kicked on losses.
Yeah. You know, what for me, what's always been humorous is for years, Mr. Fantasy used to kill me because every year towards the end of our draft, I would take Levon Hernandez when he was an active player back in the day. And he just didn't understand it, you know. And I said, look, I said, you know, in our league, and especially now more than ever with the way pitchers are handled, you got to make those innings. I mean, we've got to make 35 innings a week or just about. It's a little under. You've got to be able to find those innings somewhere. He finally learned last year when he had R.A. Dickey what that meant to me, you know, or what that meant to do. Now, there is another guy out there who is a sneaky innings compiler. And, you know, again, late in the draft, I mean, obviously you don't want this guy as your number one starter. You want him back as, you know, your four or your five. Or, you know, I think last year I drafted six starters and rotated them through to get my innings. But Clayton Richards of the San Diego Padres made 32 starts and logged 197 and a third innings. All right. Now, you know, the rest of his numbers aren't great. The Padres aren't a great team. He was 8-15. His ERA was 4.79, but you're looking exclusively for the one thing he can give you late, and that's those damn innings. You know, because I'm telling you, if you've got a limit and, you know, you don't land a big-time Sale, Santana, Verlander, you can laugh at Jeff Samardzija, but he eats innings. If you don't land one of those big-time guys at the top of your rotation, and, you know, you're filling it out with, you know, I don't know, the quality guys. There's still a lot of quality guys out there who are going to give you innings. You know, the Masahiro Tanakas, you know, the Steven Strasburgs, you know, your other guy in Baltimore, Dylan Bundy, you know, even Jake Arrieta if he signed. These guys are all going to give you innings, but they're not going to give you giant innings. This is where you plug Richard in, and he's going out there and he's giving you six or seven innings a start, and you're not having any problems making your innings. So while you're not going to get great stats for him, he'll have his games occasionally. I mean, obviously he won eight games. He beat somebody last year. So, you know, you need these guys in an innings league, and there aren't a ton of them anymore because baseball isn't made like that. So he's definitely a sneaky guy. I will keep my eye on as that works out. So, you know, there you go. That's my hidden gem there, good old Clayton Richard.
Yeah. My next guy out of the pitching mound, out of the bullpen, he's one of those guys I'm hoping still sitting there later on just so I can go, he's still sitting there. And then not let you or Mr. Fantasy know who I'm talking about. And you know exactly what I mean, Big Jack, because Mr. Fantasy does that all the time.
All the time, yep.
All the time. I swear he does it just so he can get one of us to say, who are you talking about? Well, I can't tell you, you know, the whole thing. But, you know, this guy isn't a savior. He's not going to be your closer, and he definitely wasn't the answer in San Francisco. But I really think this team is going to get that much better and play much better next year. And Hunter Strickland, when he comes in, he's really going to make a difference in grabbing his holds for you.
My guy.
The only thing that sucks with this is they don't give you the hold opportunity category.
Yeah.
But in 61 innings, he did, you know, hold guys to 21. He got 21 holds. So, you know, and one thing you're looking at, and I think this is a category in ours, is grounded in double plays. And in those 21 holds, 61 innings, he had 46 grounded in the double play putouts. So, you know, right there is telling you that when he's coming in, whether it's a hold situation or even the sixth, seventh inning situation, that with a man on base, there's more than likely a chance that he's going to get both those guys out. You know, I know it's a minor stat, And in the realm of baseball, I mean, Big Jack, I think we could do like a 3-hour show alone just on the small pitching staff and, you know, what they need and why they shouldn't be overlooked. And, you know, and I think that's why it's so hard to come up with a ranking system, especially when it comes to pitchers, because there's so many little things that kind of come into it. War doesn't help a whole lot for me. But, you know, knowing that a guy like Hunter Strickland is going to come in to get guys out, and he's going to strike out at least one guy in every inning that he comes up, it's pretty big to me.
Yeah, I have been on the Hunter Strickland bandwagon for many years.
I've seen him pitch Bert live.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing that you know, he's going to break out and other people are going to going to begin to find out about him, and I'm probably going to end up losing him finally. But
I think you'll still be able to get him next year. I just think after this season, he might be a guy that everyone's kind of looking at, especially when they go to the World Series.
So, yeah, you know, along the line of, you know, Dan's thinking there again, and this kind of feeds me into my innings quotient when, you know, I'm looking for relievers. You know, you've got to be able to hunt down that one long man. You know, you need that guy who, you know, maybe sometimes he's coming into the game and he's just got to take it for the team. You know, he's got to go out and he's got to give them 3 or 4 innings in a blowout or something. And, you know, then, you know, he's got to bounce back. And, you know, there's a guy in Cincinnati by the name of Michael Lorenzen who put up 83 innings in 70 games last year as a reliever. Actually ended up 8-4. Now, again, another high ERA guy, 4.45. And with the Reds not being any good, you've got to be careful when you make the jump and grab this guy, but there's a chance in the right league he could be the last reliever you take. So, you know, you could kind of slide that in. And again, I'm specifically looking for just innings. I don't want anything else out of Lorenzen. And obviously, you know, if he picks me up, a win here and there, I'm not going to complain about it. He'll give you the basic numbers, obviously. You know, like, his whip wasn't terrible. It was 1.35. He did strike out 80 guys. You know, he only walked 34, so his ratio is really, you know, really solid there. It's the plug-in you need when you're looking, you know, damn it, how am I going to get those last couple innings? And it's like all of a sudden magically, hey, look, here's this guy. So, you know, those are the kind of guys I look for, especially late when I'm filling out my pitching staff, because, you know, those guys, you know, the Andrew Millers, and, you know, this year it'll be Anthony Swarzak and, you know, Archie Bradley and all those big-time setup guys, they're going to be long gone. And you've got to be able to find those guys, you know, and like Michael Givens is another under-the-radar guy. I actually had him last year with the Orioles. And the guy ended up going 8-1 for me through the season. And you get those fluky things where you get a reliever who just magically wins all these games and he's just in the right spot at the right time. And, you know, you just got to kind of hit on him. And, you know, again, I want those innings. I want those guys who can come out and give me 2 innings and then maybe take a day off and come back and give me an inning or an inning and a third. And, you know, stuff like that, so I can rack up my total. And in case, and especially in today's game, where you get a starter who goes out and they pull him after 4 because he's at 80 pitches. So, you know, you need those things. Yeah. So, which is just frightening. But, you know, that's how they do it. So, you know, just the fun stuff. You know, and I know when I meant the setup guy, I forgot Dellin Betances. You know, he'll be one of the first setup guys off the board. So, you know, it's just one of those things. But, yeah, so, you know, we'll have to see. But, yeah, those are, you know, some of the fun guys that I always kind of, kind of look for how I go about it. You know, obviously, I've had a little more success in baseball than I had in football and or basketball. I'm doing better at basketball this year, but I've stunk since we started the league. Dan at least won it once. I haven't been anywhere close. So, you know, maybe this is the year, but, we shall see. But yeah, you know, it won't be too long before we're up and running and drafting. What the season starts, what, the end of March? I think this year we're getting up and going. So yeah, it won't be long before, you know, everybody's piecing that stuff together and we're kind of like, oh crap, I've got to get my draft board ready. And I don't know if Mr. Fantasy's making the big draft board this year for our money league. That's still my favorite story, Dan. I think I've told it a time or two here before. He put all this work into a draft board, and we ended up with the last pick in the draft. I think I've told this story here before. I think it was a 14-team league at the time. And he turns to me and he goes, okay, who do you want to take? And I'm like, well, take the first two guys on your chart. And he turns to me and he goes, why? Like, dude, you put all this work into your board. Take the first two guys on your chart. but yeah, it was just like the expression on his face, and he's just like, but why? Like, dude, really? So yeah, that was like, here we go.
That's awesome. I don't know. Over the years, I've tried getting stuff together. It just never seems to really work for me.
Yeah.
I've got guys that I like, of course, and you've got guys you like. But at the end of the day, it just, you know, my next pick always goes along with what my first pick was, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's really hard to put together a board. I mean, because at the end of the day, I especially with baseball, I love the sport so much that I want everybody.
Yeah.
you know, and I'll find ways to make it work.
Yeah, you know, I mean, my thing is always very situational. You know, like when it comes to the first pick, I want the best guy on the board. I don't care who it is. You know, it's just kind of like who's there when I'm picking, you know, be it, you know, fifth or eighth or 20th. You know, I want that who I think is the best guy. So, you know, and then other situations dictate, you know, other things. I mean, if I see a good value guy as we move along, you know, like maybe I'm in the sixth round and there's a guy sitting there and I'm like, you know, I don't think this guy should be here still. I'm going to go get him. You know, even if I have to go down the board a little bit to find him, you know, maybe, you know, I've got a little bigger belief in him than Yahoo does, you know, just kind of like that. So, you know, it's always tough for me to, you know, to put these things together and then, you know, do all this research just to kind of, you know, end up blowing it up because I saw something I like. But I did want to know, Dan, you know, the big news yesterday I saw, or maybe it was today it came out, Tim Tebow's going to Major League Spring Training. Are you excited by this?
Of course. I mean, it'll be fun to, when he gets struck out by whatever former Cy Younger.
Yeah.
you know, he bats again.
Yeah, and then everybody talks about how bad he is because he struck out against the, you know, a guy who just won the frickin' Cy Young. So, it's weird how, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Tim Tebow, the football player, but I actually root for Tim Tebow, the baseball player, because of this stupidity. So.
Yeah, well, and I think the bigger thing, too, is the fact that through all the BS that he got, especially throughout spring training and all that, he didn't give up, and he's willing to go back a second year. I'm sure he's got a nice, you know, small little deal considering, you know, compared to what he gets paid to do TV, and I don't know if he's still doing that, but the was it the SEC? But
yeah,
you know, I think for him, it's got to be fun, and you know, if you can't play football, especially now, why not play baseball? Where aside from worrying about, you know, getting hit in the head with the ball, I think it's, you're relatively safer playing this game. And from what I understand, he definitely gave that minor league team, I believe it was the Fireflies, I know they were down like in Carolina, he gave them a boost. And I'm sure it's just fun, because I'm sure you got a lot of kids out there that decided to go see him play. And even though he's not a major league player, I think it gives that crowd and that team kind of that major league presence almost.
Hell, if they were closer here, I would be excited to go see him. So, you know, I mean, I would definitely go out and frickin', you know, see Tim Tebow play if they weren't, you know, quite so far away from where we are. So.
Yeah. Sadly, though, I don't believe the Mets are in the Midwest League.
No.
Which is pretty much where we are.
And you got to figure, I mean, I'm kind of figuring he probably ends up in Double A this year to start.
Oh yeah.
You know, they'll probably start him off there, because they do need to find out how or if he's improved. And, you know, because he, you know, if they're going to get anything out of him, he definitely needs a fast track through the minors. So, you know, at his age, I mean, there's not going to be a lot of longevity there. So, you know, it's one of those fun things they're going to have to do, and everybody's going to bitch about that, but that's just what they do. So.
That is probably the number one minor league jersey, though, right?
Yeah, you got to think. You know, I mean, you know, how many people can name other minor league players, you know, off the top of their head like that? I mean, he's definitely a guy who, you know, resonates with fans. And, you know, again, he seems like one of these guys you don't have to worry about, you know, going out and, you know, getting arrested. I mean, I know it's just another sport, a difference. Did you see the Jets wide receiver Robbie Anderson just got charged with 9 felonies for running from the cops in his car, and then, you know, some other issues he had that – after the arrest that he had with the officer. So, you know, just,
no.
you don't have to worry about that with Tim Tebow.
But, you know, sadly with the NFL, it's almost kind of the norm.
Yeah. You know, it definitely has become that with them. You know, and I mean, again, it was just, you know, it was stupidity on his part. I believe he was originally drunk driving is what got it all started. I actually binged the article here. Let me see if they have his actual charges here. It starts with, no surprise here, officer obstruction without violence, harm to a public servant or family, fleeing, eluding while light sirens active, reckless driving, failure to drive in a single lane, 2 counts of disobeying, avoiding a red light, speeding and turning without a signal. So there you go. They, you know, and that, you know, none of that is, you know, the threat he made to like an officer's wife or something is pretty serious, but the rest of these charges are pretty minor. And, you know, obviously he'll hire a high-powered attorney, and, you know, it won't be too bad for him. But, the question becomes, what does the NFL do? Because, you know, they've got to be judge, jury, and executioner, and they have to come down on these guys hard. So what do you see? What's a suspension, Dan? Does he get 4 games? Does he get 3 games? What do you got him getting here?
Well, I think, what's his name? Oh, Roger Goodell will roll. Does he roll the dice, or does he have a modified suspension dartboard? And I don't mean like suspended in the air. I mean like with suspension numbers on it, you know. So I think we're going to go to 48 games.
Maybe it's a wheel, and he spins the wheel.
Yeah, that might be more his suit.
Yeah,
you know, because I mean that's. I guess the NFL still has to. I don't remember. I really don't look into it. Their CBA agreement, but as far as you know, as you would say, a lot of these guys bitch and moan about it. I think the real issue at hand is not so much that, well, number one, they gave Goodell the judge, jury, executioner.
Yeah.
So as much as even I think it's ridiculous, at the end of the day, it is up to him. You know, and I think it's more on the amount of publicity, negative publicity he gets where he decides to inflict, not only inflict, but go back and add to whatever. Which I find a little odd because in this country, if you go to court and you're O.J. Simpson and you're found not guilty of murder, unfortunately, they can't go back. And I know that's totally apples and zucchini.
Yeah.
But in the NFL, you can be suspended 1 week for one game. And then all of a sudden, everyone, you know, starts going on Twitter and social media and complaining about it. And the next thing you know, you've got six games. So, you know, I think that's one of the things the NFL really needs to work out is their collective bargaining agreement and really establishing punishments, you know, from the league. And I don't know, that league is just, I feel like for being the top dog of, I don't even know if you'd say the world, but definitely this country. They have so many, you know, minor stupid little flaws, and you're sitting here wondering, why wasn't this thought of 25 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, and for as much as the players complain, and you've even got the old-timers, you remember a couple of years ago there was an old-timer, and I don't mean in the sense that he's old because he is, but that came out and was comparing, you know, the NFL and, I think Roger Goodell, essentially, and the owners of the teams to slave owners. But, you know, I think you've said it a million times, there's a collective CBA that's agreed upon between the players' union and the owners. So while you make that comparison, you know, slaves didn't get a CBA. They just got shackled and put to work. So, you know, I don't mean to get too political, but in the essence,
yeah,
that's what it comes down
slaves
to.
Slaves weren't quite paid what these NFL guys are making either. So
no, and it is unfortunate for a lot of the old timers that they didn't get the pay that you know the guys are getting today. But inflation's, as they say, inflation's a bitch.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you know, it's one of those, you know, one of those things you just got to kind of deal with. But yeah, it'll, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he rains down his judgment here on this. So
I'm just surprised we haven't seen any over the years any cool political satire comments of Roger Goodell.
All right, well, the music and I are taking off here. Now, Dan will be back on Monday. Now, allegedly, I'm supposed to be here Sunday morning at 10 a.m. with Mr. Fantasy. If he's allowed to do the podcast, you just never know. But anyway, you know what to do while Dan and I are away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com, check out what's going on over there. Look for that blog tomorrow morning. Pop the link to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well as you like. Big thanks for listening live. It's cool you come on and do that with Dan and I. We appreciate that. But don't forget, you can go over to tunein.com and listen to the podcast anytime you want.
Sports Time Radio. Hey!